All right, so where we ended off on Friday was we ended off with the question of what do you define as qualities of a good mathematics teacher? And I believe we had two people speak on that, if I'm correct. I believe we had two people speak, and obviously the points that had come up was a teacher that has good knowledge, good understanding, and passion, I believe were the three qualities that came up. I'm not sure. I believe it was this lady that mentioned that. And then there was an, I'm not sure. I believe it was you or you had spoken. I couldn't remember. Someone else had added.
I spoke about passion.
Yes.
Yeah. And okay. Then she spoke that it's not necessarily the teacher that
yes.
determines how good you do. It's all up to you. That's what she spoke.
Oh, okay, yeah. Cool. So I believe it was just then the gentleman wanting to hear their opinion. So just obviously as a recap, going back to the question was, what do you define as qualities of a good mathematics teacher?
Communication, sir.
Communication in terms of?
Doesn't matter that if the teacher is the smartest person or the smartest person in math in the world, if he can't help you, then he's pointless.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be able to make the class want to listen to you and all that. I think we already did that. What did we mention?
Yeah.
Yes, that, okay,
the communication link must be quite clear. Because the teacher can have so much knowledge of mathematics, but if the teacher does not know how to actually get through to the learners, then I think it's quite difficult to connect and put one and two together.
Okay, so I think going, if I have to summarize what both of you are saying, is that irrespective of, like she had mentioned, their knowledge and understanding of the subject, if that person doesn't actually know how to actually get the information across to you, then it's actually pointless how much they actually know. So definitely, do you feel that person, in terms of communication, so do you feel that straight in terms of how they teach maths, or do you feel that's how they understand you as a person, or do you feel it's just about the maths? How do you feel communication plays a role there?
Reiterated.
So you said communication. Communication is very important. So would you say communication is just about if I know the maths, I can make you understand it? Or do you feel I still need to understand you to a certain, like in terms of you as a person? Or do you feel like I don't even need to know who you are and what your name is? I just need to be good at teaching maths.
A little bit of both. You don't need to know the person to teach him properly.
Okay.
But you also need to understand the person, what he needs and what he has to know to learn and to grow with the subject. So not every student is the same, so you have to adapt to each student and help them individually
mm-hmm.
and can grow as a group, as a class.
Okay, gentlemen, would you like to add anything?
I'd like to add something.
Okay.
So I would say that if a teacher actually knows you personally, it's actually beneficial because remember, once a teacher knows you personally, they know your weaknesses and your strengths.
Mm-hmm.
So if the teacher knows me personally, the teacher will know that this kind of topic, the teacher needs to like explain in such a way
mm-hmm.
that I'll be able to understand
mm-hmm.
maths at whatever level that the teacher
mm-hmm.
wants me to be.
So
at.
You feel maybe as well, if they have a very good understanding of you personally, if you perhaps get a question wrong, they might already, without even needing to look at your book, they'd probably know where you made your mistake, knowing on your personality.
Yeah, I would say it's a very important key, sir, the teacher knowing you personally, because they know where are you and
mm-hmm.
how weak and strong you are in different kinds of topics of mathematics.
I like that. Now, you mentioned knowing you personally. Where do you see a line in terms of knowing you personally? Because obviously I can know your name, I can know your surname, your middle name, I can know where you live, I can know your hobbies, your dislikes, but what is now, okay, too personal? Or do you feel like provided there isn't a line crossed in terms of having each other's cell phone numbers and speaking on social media, do you feel like there is no line really within the classroom? Do you feel, where do you stand on that on, now this is too personal for me?
Okay, I would say when I talk about the word personal, I basically mean like, if you actually had the teacher from maybe grade 10 and
mm-hmm.
now up to matric, the teacher can see there's a different pattern in your achievements and your marks.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll say the teacher can see that this child is very good in this or bad in that,
okay.
and this child needs improvement in that and that. And I'll also say having the teacher's phone number and speaking on social media is also good because sometimes you might be at home struggling with a sum.
Mm-hmm.
You can call your teacher, you feel comfortable. The
mm-hmm.
more you feel comfortable with the teacher, the more you really want to impress and feel motivated. You want to impress the teacher.
And you want to actually reach out if you need the assistant.
You want to reach out when I need the assistant. But when the teacher like creates this border, then I find it difficult to to become comfortable and admit that I'm struggling with this. Then I'm like, just
because you maybe feel judged.
Like, I'll try. You understand what I'm saying?
Because maybe you feel judged.
I feel judged, so I'll hold back. But if the teacher knows me personally, I feel free. I can say, you know what, teacher, I'm just struggling with this. Please help me. And I'll also say that patience is important. Every child progresses differently. So a teacher must have patience with each and every individual because some people progress quicker than others.
So do you feel at the end of the day, when it comes to knowing you personally, you feel that in a certain extent there might not actually be a line?
There's a very gray area where
knowing it, and I see your eyes are moving. Where do you feel there is a line between I know you too personally?
The line is physical contact, but verbal contact, there's no line.
Okay, no, I'm not saying physical contact, like I'm not saying you hugging your teacher or anything, but in terms of interaction in the classroom.
It's a wide field if you're going to talk about crossing a line. There's a lot of things that can cross a line.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things. Let's clear that up before we can say anything about what is got over the line and what not. Because obviously physical is out.
Yes, no, completely.
Of course, obviously. Herbal is... depends, but there's no specific criteria or line across. It's all...
So you would say, maybe both you agree, it might depend on the class or each individual person. You'd need to judge where that line is on terms of the student being comfortable and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But you do feel that if teachers don't develop that personal connection with you, then they sort of in a way start to develop, I'm here, you're here, and that's where you don't feel comfortable enough to actually engage with them.
Yeah.
Okay. Gentlemen, your feeling, what do you define as a quality of a good mathematics teacher?
I would say preparation.
Mm-hmm.
If the teacher is prepared in any work, then I'll be prepared as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if a teacher cannot teach me something, or if the teacher, I don't laugh.
And I understand they're probably laughing because they're probably relating it to their own experiences. That's why they're laughing now. You mentioned being prepared, and they probably all have ideas now in their head of seeing someone being unprepared. That's why they're all laughing. But yes, please continue.
Okay, so, if a teacher cannot teach me something, or if you're not ready to teach me, then I'm not ready to learn.
Now, when you say not ready to teach you and prepared, so are you referring to I can come into a class, know today I need to teach you guys trigonometry, but I don't actually need to open a textbook to teach you? Is that what you mean by, what do you mean by prepared? Because, you know, you could have someone... Like maybe you want the teacher to use the textbook, but are you looking for someone that's confident that doesn't actually require the textbook to teach you? Is that what you're referring to? So I see people are saying yes, that's what they're looking for.
Yes, you can have both sides of that. You can use the textbook, but then if I come to you with a question, then you must know how to solve it. You don't have to sit maybe for 3 to 5 minutes
staring at it.
But even 5 days, even a day, not knowing what to do, so preparation is more important.
So then I think maybe that combines with her answer about knowledge and understanding, because maybe that lack of knowledge and understanding leads to teachers being inadequately prepared. So yes, and you, sir, what do you, or is there nothing really that you want to add to that? Maybe something different to what do you define as good qualities of a mathematics teacher?
Not really, because like this, they say most of the stuff.
Okay, then I think we can then start with you, since you, on the next question. So the next question says, and I think everyone can think about this one because this one could get very in-depth. What do you define as a supportive teacher-learner relationship?
It feels like we're going to go on
Listen,
because we're going to say the same thing about teacher relationships now.
Listen, at the end of the day, everything will contribute to it. The thing is about a study is that even though you might have data repeat, you can't have it repeat once across 2 questions and go, it's conclusive, we know it's this. You actually need that constant thing to say, beyond a shadow of a doubt, we have come to these conclusions. Otherwise, you know, you guys might agree on 2 questions and then I go to a different school and they go, well, we totally disagree. Now I have the evidence to support and say, well, these 6 learners, they keep saying the same stuff. These are clearly problems that are arising. And it also shows in your own confidence because it also shows you guys are in the midst of the study. You've been in that classroom every day. You know what you're experiencing. It also further credits you guys that you don't start changing your answer, flip-flopping between opinions, because then also looks like, are these guys actually reliable in what they're saying, or are they just using this time as a chance to take a dig at their teacher without the teacher actually being here? You know, so it's actually good that it actually does come up frequently. That's what we're looking for. Obviously, you can obviously expand on it as much as you can so that you don't feel like you're sitting here repeating your answer. But the repetition is good. Even though it might not seem that way, it's actually a positive thing. So your hand was up first. So yes, what do you define as a supportive teacher-learner relationship?
A supportive teacher and learner relationship is when maybe you write a test in class and then you score a very low marks and the teacher encourages you to do better and asks if they can help you in any way and not be like, okay, you didn't do so well here. There's nothing I can do, it's your own fault.
Better luck next time type of thing.
So that's not the relationship we want to have with our teacher. The relationship we're looking for is when the teacher comes to you, okay, here's your marks. I know I'm also not happy about your marks and you're also not proud of your marks. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do this to help you and you can do this at home to help yourself. Mm-hmm. That's how you build a relationship between the teacher and the learner. When the teacher encourages you to do better and mm-hmm. helps you do better in your test or the next one. So by the next test, you will be able to do much better, maybe even score better marks by the teacher also encouraging you and helping you to get those better marks.
Helps with that motivation to want to improve. So I think that maybe also adds to what she says, where actually knowing you personally to come to you and say, I see this area. So having that little personal touch as opposed to just reading out your mark to you as an example. Anyone else want to answer that question or add to that question? Anyone? Doesn't matter who. Yes?
Okay, I'll say a supportive learner-teacher system is when the teacher refrains from wanting to embarrass you in front of your other peers. Because remember when maybe the learner did not do well mm-hmm. and then the teacher embarrassed you, the teacher does not really know what might have caused this bad achievement.
Mm-hmm.
So when the teacher knows you personally, it's a good thing the teacher calls you aside and speaks to you personally. Is everything okay at home? Because sometimes a person can come to school and just act like everything is okay, but they're experiencing a lot of problems at home. Mm-hmm. And then you can see that with their
it affected them.
And when the teacher also embarrasses you, and then you withdraw, you don't feel like you can open up again. The trust is just completely damaged. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I'll also say that when it comes to this good learner and teacher relationship is when the teacher goes the extra mile, like Ashley just said, support. Mm-hmm. So the teacher can see, okay, you're so good in this, but you're so bad in this. It's useless for the teacher to just give you the memorandum.
Yes.
The teacher must go step by step, showing you what have you done around. Mm-hmm. Because the memo is there, you can go, okay, you're relating
any it. Any person can read it.
You know, any person can, and you're relating that memorandum to a certain scenario. Mm-hmm. But remember, you can be given any type of exam. So when the teacher goes step by step with you, showing you, okay, this is where you went wrong, or this is where you completely went lost, you know that next time if you get any kind of scenario with that kind of topic, you'll be able to apply.
I see what you're saying, whereas if they just give you the memo, all you've now seen is just what the answer should have been for that question. Whereas if they can actually work it through with you, you're actually gaining the skills that you need to solve different questions in that same area.
Same topic, yeah.
So then would you say, I like the word that she said, encouragement, because this relates to my theoretical framework. And you've now using the word, you use the word, what did you say? You said making fun. What was the word that you used?
Oh, being embarrassed.
Embarrassed.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, someone can relate embarrassment to humor. Yes, I think everyone can somewhere relate that somewhere to humor. Would you say maybe that embarrassment could be maybe the teacher's form of trying to bring fun or humor into the class, but because not understanding you personally, she doesn't actually see as embarrassment, but maybe if she did, she might be able to word in a way that it actually makes the class more lighthearted and more fun.
Yes.
So it's a joke, but it's not at the form of trying to belittle you, because she understands where sort of your trigger is in terms of humor and laughter and that type of stuff. Or would you feel like that isn't really...
Oh, so I would say that if the teacher knows you personally, they'll know how to put that statement out.
Mm-hmm.
But if the teacher does not know you, the teacher might just say, oh, well, I'm making an example now. You just did so bad. in your test. And that sometimes you might, me as a learner can interpret it differently.
Yes.
Like if the teacher knows me personally, the teacher will know, okay, if I'm to say this, she will see it as a joke or he will see it as a joke, you know what I mean?
So do you feel maybe if the teacher understood you personally, do you feel that there is then a space in the classroom for some light-hearted humor, some joking around? Do you feel like when it's time to go in there, do you feel like it's business from when the bell goes to when the bell rings again? Or do you feel that there is space for humor, some lightheartedness?
There is space for humor, because the more fun you also have when you're doing maths, the better it is to learn and absorb whatever that it is you're learning. But when there's that constant serious mood, sometimes I can be like, oh, I'm really struggling and I'm feeling bored. You know, that can cause you to just procrastinate in the things that I do.
I fully agree. Anyone else from the other four people that haven't spoken yet? Anyone want to contribute to that question? I can even reread the question if you need me to.
I would also say that basically what the two of them said, that the teacher always also like tries to go the extra mile to help you. Like for example, if the teacher explained the whatever topic, and then maybe she'll perhaps go to the learner's desk individually and she'll be like, okay, sure you understand it, or are you sure that is, I'm sure you're not struggling with anything again. Mm-hmm. So I would say they would help, or perhaps go the extra mile to help you.
Okay.
So I would say meeting with the teacher halfway, teacher understanding what she has to teach me or he has to teach me, and I'm also learning from that. If I'm making any mistakes, then they try to guide me in a proper way.
Mm-hmm.
Or for example, if I write a test, they must talk to me privately.
Mm-hmm.
Not like calling a mark out and saying, they're saying this about you. But if they talk to me privately, it can actually build like a support between each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I can say.
So again, it comes back to that going that little bit of extra effort. Would you then maybe say, sir, if that teacher were to have a supportive relationship with all of you in the classroom and it was not so serious, you sort of have a very good common understanding, would you then think there would then be space for the teacher to read your mark out loud because you have that common understanding and the class isn't as serious as what it normally is? Do you feel then there is space for that, or do you feel there's still like a level of common respect where please don't read out my mark out loud? Or do you feel like if I have that sort of relaxed relationship with all of you, where if I read your mark out loud, you're not going to take it as a personal attack, you're not going to take it like I'm targeting you? Where do you stand on that?
So it actually depends with what's the mark. You cannot read a bad mark to a learner. Obviously the learner will feel
so you feel within reason on what the mark is.
Yes, sir.
Okay, gentlemen, anything you'd like to add?
When a supportive teacher is also when a teacher knows that you were going through something, for example, as in at home and always, and the teacher can, and you're not at school, for example, a learner is not at school, a teacher can also, for example, teacher knows that you are not at school, and the teacher can, a supportive teacher can also like call you privately to explain what they did previously in the day to like make you understand and tell you this is what you have to do and explain what you almost like about the topic and all this stuff. So I feel like that is a supportive teacher.
But having that open communication.
Yes.
Would you feel then if you have a supportive relationship with your teacher, do you feel that would then open the door where you might even feel comfortable to come out of your own and say, I wasn't here yesterday, this was what actually happened to me?
Yes.
Would you feel you'd be more open to actually have that type of communication?
Yes, because once the teacher calls you on her own, like telling you like, look here, you weren't here, so this is what we did and all this stuff. Next time you will be doing it on your own, like going up to the teacher and asking the teacher,
What did I miss?
Yes, what did I miss? And if the teacher will explain you all this.
Okay.
Without any hesitation.
That's perfect. And you, sir?
Are we now asking the question?
The question was, what do you define as a supportive teacher-learner relationship?
Obviously, I agree with all of you, what they said, basically about supporting the learner with his marks and helping him boost his or her marks with extra effort and teach and helping us where we do wrong with our exams now, stuff with some marks, like what they said.
Like, that's all right, it's no problem.
Number 3 and number 4 said.
Doesn't matter.
Okay, whatever you
exam, it doesn't matter.
Whatever. Supportive teacher learner relationship, yeah. It's basically what I agree with all of them.
Okay. That's perfect. Second last question, guys. We're almost there. So it says, as a group, how would you describe your relationship with your current mathematics teacher? Yeah, I think everyone can have a chance. I think everyone's going to have their own thing. Yes.
I would say my personal experience with my mathematics is that we started this relationship like 2 years back in grade 10. So I would say at
So she has been your teacher since grade 10.
So okay. I would say the relationship from the relationship in grade 10 was so good. I really understood the work, I was performing so well. And then we got to grade 11 where things were getting a bit more complicated, but there were like some topics that would not go into, would like not...
You wouldn't really go too in-depth into it.
Depth in it. And you know, sometimes I felt like me not going into depth in these topics is going to affect me the following year.
Mm-hmm.
And that somehow made me feel a bit discouraged, but I was like, no, I won't give up on maths because I'm capable of doing this.
Yes.
But with the good support, I'll be able to excel better than I'm just doing while I do my own work at home without the full support that I need or explanation. But I'll say the teacher somehow did hesitate to go into those very intense, difficult topics.
Yes.
We only touched like...
Barely,
yeah, just introduction. But I'll say that now that I'm now in grade 12, there's a bit of lack of communication.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can see that I really want to attempt this problem, but if the teacher somehow holding back, or the teacher's constantly procrastinating, or the teacher's constantly on other topics that I know that I'm capable of doing these topics.
Yes, that's not what I need help with right now.
The one topic or two topics that I really struggle with, the teacher, I think the teacher also struggles with that topic. But I think that it's always good when the teacher feels like he or she's struggling, get extra help. Or whatever, or even go the extra mile, download videos.
Lesson preparation.
Even download videos. So I'll say somehow this year there's a big miscommunication. The communication link is just so messed up.
So to understand what you're saying, do you feel that maybe in grade 10 the relationship was good because it maybe directly related to the teacher's confidence? So all the content was taught, it was all dealt with, so you guys felt good and positive. Maybe as you went into grade 11 and more so in grade 12, because the content got more difficult, and perhaps maybe because the teacher was less prepared or had less knowledge on it, so she maybe broke down that communication to the point where she just grazed over the little bit on the topic because she didn't want to get too much into it. And now maybe you feel like, because of that, maybe she's broken your trust almost with the subject, and maybe with her, like you're unsure.
I would also say I'm confident about what I'm saying, and I'm saying that in grade 10, the relationship was perfect. Grade 11, not bad. Now matric is like, the teacher doesn't even care now how I'll perform. Like the teacher's like, you know what, we've been together since grade 10, so you basically know this. You should work on your own. So it's basically sort of like self-study. But the relationship is somehow being destroyed slowly
through those actions.
Yes, because if the teacher cares about me, I'll be able to see in his or her actions that he or she is actually going the
and putting that effort
to make sure that I understand that certain topic that I'm struggling with.
And like you said, not only dealing and speaking about topics that you know what you're doing already, and maybe like you said, going back to the point you made, maybe they're only doing that because they also feel confident in that topic, whereas the topics that you struggle with, maybe they struggle with it as well. So they're almost like trying to avoid it.
Yeah.
They're trying to like talk their way around the topic.
Yeah.
So would you say maybe your ideal situation would be maybe have grade 10 and 11 content taught to you over 2 years? And then by the time you get into matric, you just spend that time maybe working through past papers. So from the start of the year till the end of the year, you deal with past papers. So like over like a week, maybe you pick November 2019, last year's paper, and you do both paper 1, paper 2. over like a week. Then every week you handle. That way you can actually get yourself back into like a situation where you're so used to now writing a maths exam. You know what's coming question one. You know what's coming question two. You have a rough idea what's coming at you. Would you feel that would be much more beneficial to you than actually standing and teaching with a textbook?
Yeah, I'll say that. I'll say that is more beneficial because now we can be doing this work in the textbook till like the very, very last day before
that. And that doesn't help you.
But I myself don't know what to expect, how to answer the questions.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll say more practice and doing the past papers, I'll also be able to see, okay, I studied this content, but once I try this exam,
I'm clearly lacking something.
So I'm lacking something. Then the teacher can see, okay, I need improvement in this.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, if I'm just doing the work in the book,
textbooks, mm.
and then I'm going the exam, the teacher doesn't even have to see, doesn't even get a chance to see where am I going wrong, what am I still struggling with, although I'm saying I'm confident about writing.
Because maybe when you write your actual, maybe if you work through past papers, like I've noticed when I've taught grade 12s, you might see that there's a lot of questions or way questions asked, they're repeated.
Mm-hmm.
So you might start getting hang of, they always like to ask this type of thing. So even though I'm not too sure, be prepared for it, study how it has to. So something like that maybe.
Something like that, yes.
Okay, so someone else, how would you describe your relationship with your mathematics teacher? Because I saw your hand went up as well.
My relationship with my maths teacher this year and last year hasn't been so well the way I wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
It to be, because for the past years, for example, for the past years, a lot of learners, past learners, have been complaining about mathematics in grade 11 and 12.
So it's been a consistent thing.
So I'll just be like, okay, maybe it's their way of not understanding.
Maybe that's their problem.
Maybe it's their problem, but not ours. Maybe we can tackle it more better.
Mm, maybe it's their attitude.
So then it came to grade 11 and I started seeing how they would complain about a specific thing, and I'm also relating to what they were complaining about.
And it's
about.
Starting to seem very familiar for you.
So just be like, okay, let me keep on, maybe it's me.
Mm.
Then I would work hard, I would try. But it came to a point in term two when I was just like, okay, if I don't pass mathematics in term four, I'm just going to go to maths lit because it seems as if it's not working out.
Was this in your grade 11 year?
Yes.
Okay.
And then I passed term four with 60%, and I was like, okay, let me try again. I might do well. Then came grade 12, March. Okay. We wrote a test, but that test was not how I...
Can you remember what the test was on?
It was on number patterns, similarities,
triangles,
and yeah,
proportionality basically,
and circle geometry.
And
it's a very weird combination of things to ask.
And of which that specific term we did not touch on circle geometry the way we were supposed to touch it since we're going to write about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that came to mind, okay, the teacher is just wanting us to just get done with things, but we only focused on one topic the whole term.
And what was that topic?
We focused on two topics.
And was it just Euclidean and patterns?
Only in term one, we only did
similarities and patterns.
So you didn't even do complete Euclidean, you only got taught similarity.
We didn't even,
that was last year.
So basically, Euclidean, we just touched on the circle that we're going to write about. Like, okay, you're writing about the circle.
Just learn that circle.
Look at that example.
So not really actually being taught, you're just being told, just prepare yourself for this, here's the answer, no, this is coming. So almost like go home and just learn the answer type
exactly.
of thing.
So the same learners, the past learners would also say, okay, the teacher's just giving us things to study, but we don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And maths has been like a most failed subject in here at our school. And most learners don't even pass maths with the mark they're supposed to pass it because they have been accepted at a university but get lower than how they were expected to get, and they have to do a bridge course or something like that. So now, come to think of it now, that's what might happen to us because of the way the teacher is not doing his or her job.
Really affects your future drastically.
It's really affecting us. It's really affecting us because now maybe we have been provisionally accepted, and then at the end, our NSC mark is very low,
mm-hmm.
and then they don't accept us at the end. So the teacher is not doing us a favor,
mm-hmm.
or herself a favor, or helping us in any way.
No. It's doing more damage than actually good.
It's damaging us more than mm-hmm. it's supposed to help us.
Yes.
So my relationship with my teacher this year is not the way I wanted it to be, because a lot of learners have been complaining about the same teacher, but nothing has been done about it. And it's not even in grade 11. We complained about this, but nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if...
You don't actually know what more to actually do. You've tried going the route of lodging a complaint,
and
but nothing's
have,
come of it.
We have tried earlier this year when we saw that, okay, term one, these things are not going to work out for us. We tried approaching to a teacher that taught us in grade 9 because
mm-hmm.
he was really good. And then he gave us his reasons why he can't help us. And we understood that. And we also tried other alternatives, but we were charged a lot of money because we were charged 1,000 per hour. And
that's ridiculous.
100 rand per learner.
That's a lot of money.
So we were just like, okay, let's just see what we have to do. We'll see. We'll
sort of, let's just bite down and whatever. Let's just do it.
And so basically the thing that boosted our marks in term one was the assignments we did. Because...
So you feel it's probably not even, in your honest opinion, it's probably not even an accurate representation of your maths. It's not actually properly a
yes,
good representation.
Because we never got the marks. The thing is, when we fail a test or when we don't do good, we never get our marks back. And we never.
So she never tells you your marks?
Yes. But she, and
that's weird.
We never hear our marks back if we don't do so well. And that's kind of worrying because we don't know how we did
mm.
or what we should focus on. So, at this point, we know that we did not pass this test. Maybe
hopefully we pass the next one.
We did, like, the first term, hopefully.
Hopefully.
We're just hoping now.
So, it's one of those things where maybe, sorry to interrupt you, so it's maybe one of those things where after you finish writing, you pretty much sit then go, well, either next week I'm going to hear, and if I don't, well, then I know I didn't do
yes.
well.
Yes, and previously we wrote a test, and it was also... We didn't get last year when
that's
we
wrote. That's the reason why we wrote today.
We wrote a test before, and that
the
is the trig test, and
yes.
it was a mess.
Well, I saw there with the trig, you guys were lacking some fundamentals.
And then we heard that we have to rewrite another test. That always happens when we rewrite another test. It's either because we failed that one, we have to work.
Get a better mark type of thing. Yes.
Get a better mark type of thing there.
So would you say maybe? Would you say one of the biggest things, because I think maybe coming down to your relationship with your teacher, is I think the big thing coming up is dishonesty, you know, not being trustworthy. And I would you say maybe the biggest factor concerning that is, well, that's playing into that is the fact that your maths isn't being treated like she wants you to understand. It's being treated as, let's just get the assessment finished, let's just get a mark on a report so we can move on to the next term.
Yes.
So I was going to say, well, now this COVID thing, the teachers are finding it, they can take this and just rush through every topic the way they want, because they can also...
Like they can use COVID now as an excuse to not teach properly.
We don't go deep into the topics that we should, and maths is like an essential subject.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'll say with this COVID, sir, it's I think with other COVID, it was like maybe 50% damaged. But now with the COVID, it's like 75% damaged, and... I as a learner can only take that much. I cannot go too deep into maths only because I have other subjects to study.
That is true.
You
do have a lot on your plate. As the years coming closer, you sort of getting the gaps getting tighter and tighter to move around in.
And also, like, we have siblings. And by the way things are, we wouldn't want our siblings to come to the same school because of the way that we were taught and how they're going to struggle with maths.
You fear that the history will repeat itself.
Yeah,
definitely.
And at this point, we're done with classes. Like tomorrow's our last day with class. And in mathematics, we never touched. We didn't touch on probability yet. Did we do stats?
Stats was only introduction.
Only
it was barely. It was.
We
you
never
barely touched.
Most,
them, sorry.
Most
we never
topics. They were only done based on one example. Then
and most
on.
Topics were only done over about 1 to 2 days.
Well, you can ask this gentleman. The way the median was taught was also incorrect anyway, so...
It was,
So, even with it being touched very basic, you wonder if even the basic of what the teacher's doing is even correct in the first place.
And the thing now,
mm-hmm.
there's most topics that we just touched the introduction, and then we wrote this test, and then we get a few things that we never touched on deeply, because on Friday, was it Friday when we had the after school lessons? That's when we read Thursday.
Thursday was the after class
for the test of today. Yes, it was on
that work we only
It was new work that we did on Thursday.
And what work was that?
It was rules of
derivative of functions and differentiation.
Cubic
cubic functions, yeah. And
I mean, that's just in my experience, there's no real rules of derivative. You have, if you do integration, which is basically, if everyone can see in their head now, 3x squared. Now you've taught derivative is 3 times 2 is 6x, and then you say 2 minus 1. So 3x squared being derived becomes 6x. Now, if you take 6x and you go backwards, it's called integration. So like derivatives going forward, integrations going backwards. You'll only do that in university if you do like an engineering degree.
So, I saw the topic that you're talking about, I saw it in the book, integration.
Oh, integration, okay.
It is in the book, but then we never got that far because we only did that topic.
No, with integration, there's like about 15 rules. There's a lot to know because it's very weird, especially when it comes to the fraction. So the derivatives... the thing that is concerning is that she makes it seem a lot more difficult than what it actually is. Derivative is, you have two methods. You have the short method and the long method. The short method you use just to check your answer. You have to always work it out the long method. And then the graphs, your cubic graphs, it's actually, I'm not sure how you guys are taught it, but how I like to do cubic graphs is I like to use it in a 3-2-1 method. So there's always 3 x-intercepts, 2 turning points, 1 y-intercept, finished. You're doing a 3-2-1 method, and you always look for that. So there's always 3 x-intercepts, 2 turning points, and 1 part where it crosses through the y-asymptote, well, the y-axis. But anyway, continue.
And the thing is, okay, we wrote this test, and then we had an unknown question, of which that question we couldn't do because...
You're lacking the understanding.
The understanding to that question is...
And we were supposed to do it on Thursday Easter classes, but we never got to that question.
Which I understand, because I can hear your frustration. Would you say it would be much better if maybe the content was taught on a deeper level, and that way, if you were given an unseen question before, at least you can go, well, I actually have the knowledge, I just need to, like this gentleman says, problem solve what I need to do. But I have the knowledge, I just need to go about doing it.
Yes, my understanding, okay, mathematics is about doing everything in the textbook or all the topics.
Okay.
We have to do all the topics because at the end of the year...
Cover all the topics, but you can use the textbook for questions. You need to do every question.
We just have to read, okay, this is the topics we have to do, this are the topics.
Yes.
At least, if we have to finish the syllabus by this time, why don't we start, like, from the beginning? Because there's some days that we're like, okay... We spend 3 to 2 weeks on one topic, and it's not helping because at the end of the day, we're doing this topic, but we're still not in understanding of that topic.
So you spend 3 to 2 weeks of wasting your time.
Yeah.
Anyone else want to add? Because I feel like otherwise you and me are just going to go back and forth for another.
Others can add.
Then as they say something, maybe it'll jog your... Anyone else want to add on their relationship at the moment with their teacher?
My relationship with the teacher was more strong when I was in grade 10 because I was coming from grade 9. So we had a good relationship with the previous teacher. So in grade 11, things started changing because I still remember there's a point where the teacher told us that she never did this type of work when she was in high school or university. So she's not going to teach it.
Can you recall what content that was?
It was a question that you couldn't answer and she couldn't answer.
There's a lot of topics that she always usually said.
Quite a lot, yeah.
Even this year, probability, we never touched. I think it was a week ago when she told us the same thing about probability, that she never did it.
That's weird because probability... Well, that's also understandable, but anyway.
She told us that we're not going to do it. Then my trust for the teacher, then... I don't see how I'm going to pass if I cannot trust the teacher to...
If the person that's meant to teach me doesn't even know how to do it.
Then I can't pass.
So again, we come down to just untrustworthy you.
I can't trust the teachers.
Not reliable, so honestly, not reliable.
Scary and frustrating all at once. Anyone else? Because I'd like to hear from everyone. Obviously, you can reiterate on being untrustworthy, but...
No, I think they cover it all. They cover it all.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes, please.
In matric, it's... Okay, I can say this. Now, at the stage we are, we're just at that stage of, okay, I wrote this test, it was difficult. I'm not going to stress about it anymore. I'll just have to see how the paper one or the paper two has to tackle me, or I will tackle the paper, and I will just have to focus on the things I can do.
Yes.
And why, what, if I can't do this, I'll just not focus on that.
Yes.
So we just basically at that point of, okay, I'm not stressing myself anymore, just gonna focus on what I can do. Mm-hmm. And if I can't do it, then so be it. Because now at this point, we can't help.
Which is also probably scary for you, considering what happens if someone isn't as lucky as you were. There's more in the paper of what they can't do. And obviously, like I believe in the previous discussion, someone did say, if you do start off with that first question, it goes absolutely shocking. It sort of sets the tone for the rest of the paper. You write the rest of the paper feeling uninterested, unmotivated, upset. You don't actually want to do it. You're like, just take it away from me. There's no point at this point. Do you guys want to add anything?
My relationship with the teacher, like they said basically, like it was strong, it was understanding, like she basically introduced us to pure math in grade 10 in a very simple way and in a nice way. But when it came to grade 11, it became like almost like a ship that is going to sink, mm-hmm. and it was very like, was very, I wanna say disappointing, but it felt like we don't know. It felt like that she basically made us want to be independent on our own, like self-study and all this stuff. So, but in grade 11, it was so, but I had a feeling that I'm going to do bad as this goes on. And in grade 12 now, it's
come to that like, point where that's how it is.
Yes, it's like you don't even don't even want to be in maths anymore because it's so difficult. Like, even if the teacher explains it now, and sometimes you feel like, do you actually understand? But when it comes to a test or an exam, then you feel like you never did
it. I'm not prepared for this.
Exactly, mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So would you say, I hear you say the word about self-study, would you ladies say that, and everyone, would you say, we're almost done, after I ask her, I have one more question to do. Would you guys say that preferably self-study is an option, but the teacher then needs to understand, are they ready yet for self-study? So maybe like I said, cover grade 10 and 11 work over 2 years, then use grade 12 as self-study because now they have the content. Every content or topic has been dialed in as deep as it can go, and now we go to let's revise papers, let's go through questions, you know, not still spend time teaching.
Yeah, I would say I think that would be a good strategy, and I think it would actually change the marks of the upcoming and new generation mm-hmm. of these matriculants. Because mm-hmm. remember that grade 12 is like you're basically being given so much work, and I don't think being given new work in grade 12 is actually ideal because you've got so much work and pressure. Everyone mm-hmm. is on your case. Everyone's like, you need to pause, you need to do this. Some learners don't cope well under stress and anxiety. So I would say if they use that strategy, I think it would have been perfect.
Well, that's why I say, you know, most things in maths, if taught correctly in grade 10 and 11, by the time you get to matric, per each content, there's maybe only like one more new formula
one
you have to learn.
It's
literally like one more thing, and it's one of those formulas which would be on your formula sheet anyway. So it's actually just understanding how is it applicable in where, how am I going to use this?
Yes,
I see your hand was up.
Coming to the grade 10 of understanding, we used to pass very well in grade mm-hmm. 10 because from term 1 till the end of the year, we would basically get started from 70s, 80s, we would relate because I literally passed my grade 10 with good marks because throughout the whole year I got 70, sometimes I would reach 79, just need that one more mark,
yeah.
We're 80.
And you felt good.
And I felt good, and I was like, okay, then life is gonna be a bit easy. I don't know what the
maths isn't as bad as what everyone said it was.
Like, mindset that maths is not so bad after all. Mm.
And then grade 11, term 1, okay. Then term 2, that's when I felt like I literally went from a 70.
Almost an 80.
Almost an 80. I literally went down to, I think it was a 40.
Sure, that's quite a drop.
That's quite a drop.
Almost half the marks gone.
Yeah. And that's when I started realizing that maths is not as easy. And my relationship with my teacher is just falling somehow, some way, and we're not working the way we're working in grade 10.
Yes.
So the relationship, I don't know if I can conclude for everyone.
Almost. Do you want to add anything about your relationship with your teacher?
Basically, that covered everything.
Okay, yes.
So I can just conclude with our relationship with the teacher currently is not the relationship we had in grade 10, and it's not the relationship that we want, and the relationship we hoped for in 2020, and we just want this whole thing to change so that the next grade 12s can have a better teacher, or the teacher can educate him or herself for the next grade 11s or grade 12s, because at this point, the grade 11s, I don't want to speak for them, but I think things are not so... They can't cope.
They're almost on the path that you guys are on now.
And that's not really well, because we stopped, because the highest for maths last year was a 68. And then the
previous top learner.
That's our top learner that got 68. Imagine us that are a bit under him. What's our highest? Mm. Because most got 26. And maths has been a failed subject, a problem at this school, and they haven't done anything about it. And I don't know if they
you don't know how to get through to them almost.
We tried getting through to them for about 2 years now, and they never made a difference. They never helped us in a way that we thought they were going to help us.
Mm.
So they should...
You've lost your faith almost in the system.
They can expect at least maybe a 40% from us, or
50%. I'd like to add something. I would say that such a very difficult subject, but with the right teaching and practice, I don't think it's impossible. Math is not impossible.
Mm-hmm.
But practice and being taught the subject by someone who's prepared and someone who's confident, someone who knows what they're doing, someone who practices and put extra work. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's impossible. Math is not impossible. But it's all about how the math is actually taught to you, how the teacher gets across to you as a learner. Because at this point where we are losing hope, I don't think so it's actually a good sign. Because we're not supposed to reach this stage, especially this crucial...
At this final point now, feeling hopeless. Alright, then the last question, because I see everyone is looking anxious to go now. Last question says, as a group, how much do you feel your relationship with your teacher has played a role in your academic success with regards to mathematics? How much do you feel she's played a role? Obviously, we go back to all your answers where you talk about there being no trust, no preparation. Obviously, that has played a role. Do you feel like there's been more, like with regards to... Do you feel like what you get now, as whatever your averages are individually, do you feel that's 110% the teacher, or do you feel like it would have been even worse and maybe you had to sort of self-teach yourself to a point? Where would, like, how much overall would you say your relationship has actually contributed to your math success or lack thereof of success?
Like for this year?
For specifically in your grade 12 year.
Honestly, I'll just say from a score from 10, I'll just give her maybe a 2. So basically that's 20%. She contributed 20% to my whole year, because I feel like I self-studied a lot this year, and that's how I got through to this year.
So you would put sole emphasis on, thanks to yourself, self-studying, you would say that's where you are, where you are now.
I'll thank myself this year and for God. Oh, thank God for helping me through mathematics this year, because the help I needed, I didn't receive in 2020.
Anyone else want to add?
So I would say she contributed nothing.
So you're at 0, okay?
I mean, 0, because if we are talking about a group, let's say we're doing a sum on the board, then if one person says this and this, the teacher will, let's say the answer is wrong or someone else wants to add to that answer. If that person says this, the teacher will change the question and put that answer that the person is saying. And if someone else comes with another answer, the teacher will keep changing. So basically the teacher doesn't even know where we're going with the work. She mm-hmm. doesn't even know which one is the right answer. So we keep changing the answer, this and this and this. I think you saw that when we were in class.
Yes.
You saw how we were struggling with the teacher. So for me, I don't think that the teacher...
You feel then where you are right now, so is completely thanks to yourself.
I think myself, maybe, I think myself for being focused between grade 9.
For actually gaining what you did from grade 10 to 11.
Yes, I thank myself for that, because if I didn't have that knowledge...
From you probably 10, would be way worse off now. Anyone else want to add something or give their opinion?
Yeah, I definitely agree with the self-study, because we all had to do it. We've never worked as a group on something, because we are all on our own little island in math class. Some of us help each other, some stay away.
But a large majority, it's fend for yourself.
It's fend for yourself, so some group up and form a tribe. The others don't want to, but they don't feel...
Comfortable.
They're not sure if it's right. Or it's
mm-hmm. And sometimes we'd feel like, okay, it's the learners teaching the teacher, so what are we doing here? Because they can't. There is a point in class where the teacher is being helped by one of the learners.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just group with the smartest people in the class, and we all just form a group around them, and then we get the help from them.
Okay.
I agree with the other three that. This year, I just thank myself for self-study, not just gaining this skill in matric only, because I can't really say I gained a lot of skills in matric because we were like at home for 2 months. But I'd say I was able to like really practice these skills in grade 10 and 11.
So again, you would say thankful that in grade 10, 11, you actually paid attention.
I paid more attention, yes. And this year I am paying attention, but
it's obviously.
I just feel like there's no need to, because it's basically self-study.
So you would definitely say, if it wasn't for that, maybe that good relationship at the start of grade 10 and taking in as much as you did, we would be having an even worse off discussion right now.
Oh, I would have even changed to mathematical literacy.
And you too, how would you say it's contributed to your overall academic success with mathematics?
Basically, also cover everything. Like some stuff our teacher didn't also cover, and then that's where you also have to basically self study or put in extra work, because she didn't cover that particular topic.
And it feels like she covers stuff we already did last year and leaves the stuff we're supposed to do now for end. But we're doing the most of the work is on the old work.
So you would say majority of the revision is actually revising the easy old work you remember from grade 10 and 11.
Take a grade 11 book or grade 10 book, then we have to go back to that.
And you're confused as to why that's an approach.
And waste of time. So definitely
in the grade 12 book, you're seeing a different formula.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going back to, okay, it's the same topic, but then, you know, formulas change. But using a different formula, we're going back to grade 11 or grade 10. She's saying, this you did in grade 11, this you didn't. You must just use the same thing. But then
it's clearly not.
It's not the same thing, because when it comes to an exam, you don't have that time that, okay, I must use the same thing. So the relationship there really like...
Some of the work isn't, some of that old work isn't into the new textbooks. Some of our last year's work
is in the new like basically the every topic that we go into, like it is the topic that we did last year, but then there's, for example, a revision. Basically this introduction is telling us what we did last year.
Yes.
When you turn the page, it's the same work, but it's almost like it's on a other level.
It's like a lot of the difficulties, yes.
Yes, like that.
So where would you say, how much has she contributed for you?
At least, yes. I'm sorry for the one.
So you say at least a little bit, but also majority self-study.
Because we've probably done geometry for how many times?
Yeah.
How many times? 6 times.
Your Euclidean geometry.
Yes. No, the one with the circles.
Yes.
Oh, circle geometry. Well, that is Euclidean. With a triangle in a semicircle, angle in a semicircle,
and,
yes.
This year we didn't touch on it. And in the paper 2, it seems as if a lot of circles are in.
Well, that's the thing about paper 2, is paper 2, a large portion of the marks is your statistics and your circle geometry. So if you can't do that, that is a problem.
Yeah.
It is a large piece of the work.
Still those are the theorems.
So with that being said, guys, the questions are all done. Before I stop the recording, and then obviously I take it you guys are all going home now then.
Yes.
Okay, so what we can do is, before I stop then this recording, does anyone have anything they then would like to add? Anything as a closing statement or anything? Yes?
Yeah, I would like to add something. I think that maybe the Department of Education, since they've seen this pattern, ongoing pattern of failure in matric, they should just like bring a system, maybe a system where the teachers have to like constantly go for...
They have to be assessed on their knowledge.
Yes, either test or practice or workshops or whatever, sir. But something that...
Like every 2 years, they need to maybe write a matric paper.
Every year.
Or something like that to make sure they can...
Say, sir, every year. Because it would help so much, you would see a drastic change in the process.
So you would say, and I really like that you said that. So you would say one thing you feel the education system could really change is, instead of sending department officials over to look at files and lesson plans, they should send department officials over with exam papers for the teachers on the work that they're teaching.
Instead of looking at our work, they should look at the teacher's work.
Actually test the teacher, put the teacher in the student seat and see if they can.
They can.
But then again, then you also have to assume the people at the department know as well, so.
The department doesn't really care for us.
The department does know, so because when they see the large amount of failure, they see it's a pattern. It's not like it's only 2020.
But they've done nothing to change it.
They've done nothing. So I don't just blame the teachers, I blame the higher level.
Who the teachers need to answer to.
Yes, definitely, sir.
So basically the department can see when they're marking the papers, or when some schools are marked, since it's a school, different teachers from different schools mark the papers.
Mm-hmm.
When they're marking the paper, they can see that something is wrong with the mathematics learners, because it's always the mathematics, physical science, and sometimes...
And they keep making the same problems every year.
Same problem every year. So they should do something.
Someone needs to start asking questions, you're saying.
Yes.
I don't blame the students that just refrains from doing these quite difficult subjects, because they themselves can see they can never cope, and they cannot cope if the teacher is not well equipped.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, you can be the top learner at the school and be passing term 1, term 2. But when it comes to the national paper, they end up failing. How is that possible? So which shows that their mind and their level of the...
Is not actually there yet.
Is not there yet, where the department wants it to be.
Yes.
So they should most probably do something about it for the next generation, if they couldn't do it for us.
Yeah, I think this country as a whole has so many errors to fix that I don't think even in any of our lifetimes would be fixed anytime soon, personally.
Yeah.
We have some, I think, not even by the time any of us have grandchildren, it would be fixed. I think there's a big problem.
Worse with this COVID era, sir, the learners that have returned back to school, honestly, the education of just going maybe twice a week, that the problem starts actually there as well.
So you would say maybe there. Thanks to COVID, the education system's now going to take even a further plunge down. It's actually just going
it's
to
just
worsen
go,
the situation.
It's going to go worse. It's going to be worse.
So you're almost thankful that it's happened now in your final year. You don't have to deal with it next year. You can almost like...
You can almost like just break free from
it. Let's just deal with it for a few more months and not have to worry about it again.
Because I feel like since there was this whole COVID thing, they were supposed to change our paper, but they didn't do that. Because a mathematics paper, we still can't write everything that we're supposed to learn.
Yes, because obviously not everything's been taught.
And not everything has been gone into in depth. Some topics are just introduction. And where does that leave us?
I completely... Yes, sorry. You were going to say something.
I kind of forgot what I should say now. But still, it's... But it also... COVID ruined our year as well, because now we have a lot of stuff that we didn't study during the lockdown to get into now with this period. And it's a lot, and we're running out of time.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're running out of time.
Scary, sir.
It is. Does anyone else want to add something? No?
Can I not add something? Because, Jude, I just want to add something towards the COVID thing.
Mm-hmm.
during the COVID thing, we got work for mathematics and we got new topics that we're supposed to do on our own. So basically, that shows...
Going back to self-teaching again.
Self-teaching. And then we only got
answers
for the activities we were supposed to do. To be honest with myself, I tried doing a few of them, but at the end of the day, I ended up just writing the answers instead of...
You should have actually been doing it. No. Okay then.